Appreciate everybody coming to the service. We want to welcome the visitors. Appreciate you being our most welcome and special guest. We hope that you get something from being here today. We hope that you make you feel so many ways that you're liable to like some of them anyway. But we hope that you've come to do nothing but serve the Lord. We hope that you've come to do nothing but serve the Lord. Good to see everybody here. Let's start our song service with number 41. Number 41 in this book here, the favorite gospel songs, the gray book we call it. Y'all's voices are in fetter this morning. Since you're singing that good, let's turn over to number 120, song that I don't think I've heard here in a while, but I think you know it. It's a grand and a glorious feeling.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Good singing today from everyone. Appreciate the good leading and playing also. But that last song is, well, Brother Sam says we hadn't sung it in a while, but I'm thankful today to know that I have a grand and glorious feeling inside of my heart. If you've been saved, you have that grand feeling in your heart. And it's wonderful to have that today. I'm just thankful that as the song says, plod on through this life, that feeling does not go away. I'm thankful it stays there. And I'm just thankful that God gives us the sweet blessing of salvation to have, but that he does it forevermore. I got in discussion yesterday with a feller, and he just kept trying to pick at me about the fact that we believe that it stays there, that God saves you and it stays there. And that's one of the things that I'm so thankful for today. But he wanted to pick. Well, nevertheless, we had our little discussion. We'll just say it that way. I don't think I changed him, but he sure didn't change me. But that's one of the main things there. So it's good to see each and every one out today. Glad to have all of our visitors with us. Got quite a few visitors again. Several first-timers again. We thank you all for being here so much today. And I just hope and pray that the Lord blesses you. As Brother Sam says, I hope we treat you so many good ways that you're bound to like at least one of them, is what I'm hoping that you'll do. And so let's just all be prayerful for this service today and pray that God will bless it in a great big way. I do have a thank you card that I was given to ask to read for you, and it is, Dear Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, our family thanks you for the special flower arrangement that you sent. Your support and appreciation. Support is appreciated during this difficult time, and that is from Sister Robin Dillard on the loss of her father. So we just are thankful for the card, but I hope we'll continue to remember her in our prayers. It's a difficult thing to lose a father like that. I listened to a man last night as he was talking about, they had just got through singing the Days of the Week song. And he said, I watched Daddy always stand up on Friday. And he said, I miss Daddy standing up on Friday. And I understood what he was saying. It is a privilege to have parents that especially taught us about the Lord. And if you still got your parents, I'm going to encourage you to do something. Tell them you appreciate them. Call them. Tell them you love them. They may not be the best parents in the world, or they may be the very best parents in the world, but they did the best they could, and you're here in church today. And just tell them you love them, and tell them that God loves them. And that's one of the best things you can do for anybody in this world today. But when they're gone, it's a hard thing. So let's do remember Sister Robin in this time. I'm going to go on with our service today. Brother Sam, you doing the children's church here today. Brother Sam will be doing double duty today, so we'll turn it over to him at this time. Children, come on.
Let's go to school. Everybody. All right. Still coming. You like that. Some of these days we're going to break the record of 21. 21 is the most that we've had up here. And we'll get that one of these days. But right now, it's quality over quantity, right?
Right.
All right. Well, y'all are a good-looking bunch. I'm glad to be here. Everybody ready? Everybody got their thinking caps on? I told you some time ago there'd be a test. Huh? What? You said, oh, no. You didn't study on vacation, Heather? You know. I'm just kidding. It won't be a test. Yay. Okay. Anyway, who can tell me, there's five main senses about our body, right? Who can tell me what one is? One of your senses. Yes. Smell. Another one. Hearing. Another one. Why do I wear these glasses? Yes. Sight. We're doing good. What's that for, Stevie?
Carol Burnett.
Yes.
Touch.
I like it. There's one more? Yes. Taste. Is there another one? I think she said taste, but that's right. You said smell? Okay, so it said smell, touch, taste. Did we say, we said sight, and there's one more? Hearing. I tend to think there's one more, and it's this right here. What am I doing? Balance. It's a sense of balance. It's not one of the main ones, you know. But I'm thinking of a verse that has two of them in there. Psalms 34 and about 8, I think. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Now, how can you taste Jesus? How can you taste a Little Debbie pie? I love Little Debbie pies. You eat it, right? And you smell how good it is. The filling's good. You know, and then I see your face light up when you see it. But it's kind of a different there. It didn't say taste how good it is. It says taste and see. It's like, what did he mean there? I'll tell you what he means. It said that you need to partake of his salvation and experience how good it is. That's what it means. It means you need to get some glory from the Lord and experience that. And that's what he wants for everybody to do. It's almost a commandment. It doesn't say you ought to or you should think about it. It says to do it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's not just for you. Not just for me. It's for everybody. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Because he is good. You think you can repeat that verse after me? All right, he said you can do it, so you're going to stand up and do it. All right, stand up. You ready? We're going to do it good. Psalms 34 and 8.
Psalms 34 and 8.
Oh, taste and see.
Oh, taste and see.
That the Lord is good.
That the Lord is good.
Blessed is the man.
That trusteth in him.
All right. Go make lunch. Very good. Yay. There'll be a test next week.
Are you trying to run them all?
Why not? It's your turn now.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
We are thankful for the children's church. We're glad that the kids, it's something that the kids enjoy doing, a little personal time. And when Brother Sam does it and the other brethren that have took part in this and teaching these children these things, it is a personal time that comes down to their level. And I'm thankful that we do that here today. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart before we go to the Lord in prayer this morning? Lord bless. Bless you, Sister Helen. Good to have you back with us. I know you was taking care of Brother John, but we are glad you're back. You and everybody else in the bunch. We're glad they're all back today. Somebody else have something on your heart this morning, prayer request or something? It's good for us to praise the Lord, isn't it? It's good for us to praise the Lord. And so when he does good for us, we ought to be thankful for that. I'm going to mention Christian, Luke, and the girls are going on a mission trip flying out Saturday. They're going to Belize. And so be prayerful for them that they'll have a safe trip. Everything will go well. Pray that, as far as we know, neither girl is saved. Both are saying that they're lost. And so be prayerful for them. It's getting on Grandmama and Nan and Papa, I guess that's the way I should say it, that they're going to be away, and especially under these circumstances. So that's a little bit of a selfish prayer request, but I hope you will remember that today. Somebody else? Good to see Brother Sonny and Sister Linda back. They've been out for a while, too, with sickness. We have so many that are sick and unable to be here. Brother Lowell's one that I think about a lot of times, not able to come. And just remember them. Sister Nettie is, of course, their problems with Mr. Bob and all. So do remember them in your prayers, please. So let's just keep all of these that are sick in our prayers. But let's remember especially the ones that are not saved. We've just gotten out of revival. It's normal. It shouldn't be. But it's normal for us to want to relax. Well, revival's over with. We can relax. We don't have to think about them so much. But if you think about just how dangerous this world is today, most everybody that has any knowledge about God and His Word says it's got to be getting close to time for Him to come back. Even if it's not time for Him to come back, death might sneak in on us. So really, there's no place to relax right now. We've got several lost ones in our midst today. Some that comes from time to time. We need to keep them on our hearts. And let's pray hard for them. That the Lord will just break their hearts in such a way that they'll be saved. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart this time? Lord help. Let's remember this. Somebody else. Let's be prayerful one for another. Let's ask the Lord to come into this service today. And let's just ask Him to come in a great big way. That the Spirit of God just might just fill us all up is what I hope He does today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Stewart, if you would you start our prayer, please? But everybody, please pray.
May be seated. We'll continue our song service. And we'll do number 94. Number 94, it won't be very long. Sinners, I hope you pay attention to this words of this song. slow it down just a little. Let's turn back a few pages. Number 76. Number 76, where we'll never grow old. I could listen to that all day. One more song, if you can oblige me. Number 130, and listen to the words of this one. We talked about glory coming down a while ago, Brad. I can remember just a short space of time when the Lord changed it for me, and there was a little glory in there, and it's just grown brighter ever since, Miss Joy. Oh, the glory did roll. Here we go.
Jesus.
Well, thank you, Sister Janice, for the good playing. Good morning again to everyone. Going to give you my verses first. Turn to Luke 15 chapter. Just a quick reference here far as announcements is concerned. I'm just going to talk about today. Today at 3 o'clock, we're going to have a youth get-together. It's kind of a back-to-school get-together. Want all the young people to come, and that includes the oldest ones here. They may not be going back to school, but I'm going to tell you, kids, you never get done with learning. So everybody come back and be a part of this. For the young people, there will be some games to play. There will be some activities, I guess is a better way of saying it. And we just want you to have a good time. Of course, there will be a little bit of devotional time that will come out today also. So we want you to keep that in mind. But we want all the young people to keep that in mind. We want you to enjoy the afternoon as best as you possibly can. Today at 5 o'clock, we have our first Sunday service, night service. Excuse me. And Brother Swoffer will be preaching for us. Brother Randy Swoffer is going to be preaching. Sister Janice, you'll enjoy this. I almost called him Barry Swoffer. I almost got him mixed up with Brother Barry Witcher. Brother Barry Randy Swoffer will be preaching tonight. So keep him on your heart as he comes to preach for us. He is an able preacher. He does a good job. And let's keep him on our hearts and in our minds and do remember him in our prayers. Does anybody have anything on your heart? I've got a long way to go and a short time to get there, so let's get started. Starting reading the lesson in the 15th chapter. Let's go to 14th chapter. 14th chapter of Luke. You don't have to turn far. We're going to start with verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. And the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, I must need go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. That's our reading lesson today, starting verses 16 through 20. That's of the 14th chapter of the book of Luke today for our reading lesson. Our thought today is going to be excuses. I see some smiles on that. We all have excuses, don't we? There's three major types of excuses that are used in churches. And I'm going to address this one first of all as kind of prelim to this. The first one is when we're in church, and we get the inspiration of the Spirit coming upon us, and maybe it's to request a song, maybe it's to pray aloud, or maybe even make a prayer request or something like that. Maybe it's to even testify to the God's goodness. We usually have a little bit of an excuse. Lord, I can't speak. That's what Moses said. Lord, I stutter, in other words. Lord, I can't say those things. I might offend somebody. Lord, I just can't do that. We have those kind of excuses, don't we? Now, for the other one is, and this is the one you're going to get to have a little bit of fun with, about excuses about coming to church. I'm thankful every one of you are here today. I appreciate you being here, especially our visitors. Again, I'll say that. But it's usually church members, church people, saved people, have excuses that they use from time to time about why they do not go to church. Years ago, there was a song that came out. Don't fret, I'm not going to sing. I am going to read it to you, though. It's a pretty good poem, and I'll say for the young people, Google this, it'll bring a smile to your face, is what it does. But I played this several years ago to a man that was not a church-going man, and he understood the song perfectly. He did. Now, the song is called Excuses. It says, excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. And the devil, he'll supply them if from church you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. To keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. That's where excuses come from. Yeah. In the summertime, it's too hot. In the winter, it's too cold. In the springtime, when the weather's just right, you find somewhere else to go. Well, it's up to the mountains and down to the beach or to visit some old friend, or you just stay at home and kind of relax and hope that some of the kinfolks will come in. Well, the church benches, they're too hard, or maybe they're too soft. The choir, it sings too loud. Boy, you know how nervous you get when you're sitting in a great big crowd. The doctor told you, now, you better watch them crowds. They'll set you back. But you go to that old ball game because you say, it helps me to relax. He said, well, a headache Sunday morning and a backache Sunday night, but by work time Monday morning, you're feeling quite all right. While one of the children had a cold, pneumonia, do you suppose? Why, the whole family had to stay home just to blow that poor child's nose. Well, the preacher, he's too young, and maybe he's too old. The sermons, they're not hard enough, and maybe they're too bold. His voice is too much too quiet-like. Sometimes he gets too loud. He needs to have more dignity or else he's way too proud. Well, the sermons, they're too long and maybe they're too short. We ought to preach the word with dignity instead of stomp and snort. Well, the preacher we've got, he must be the world's most stuck-up man. Well, I heard one of the ladies say the other day, well, he wouldn't even shake my hand. Excuses, excuses. You hear them every day, and the devil, he'll supply them if from church you'll stay away. When the people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So he keeps those folks away from church. And he offers them excuses. Every one of us has gotten caught in one of these at one time or another, haven't we? We've either complained about the benches or the preacher or the singing or something or another. We've all got those kinds of excuses. And what I want to remind you of, that these excuses come from the devil. That's the purpose of the song. That it reminds us where those excuses come from. Now, in this lesson today, I'm going to go a different route. There's also excuses that sinners use. Now, why they do not come to the Lord. We talked about people as far as excuses why we don't work for the Lord. Then we talked about why they don't go to church. But now let's talk about why they don't come to the Lord. In this lesson today, you saw three types of excuses that were used. In the first one, the man said, well, I bought a piece of land and I must go see about it. In other words, it was something that was valuable to him. In other words, the cares of life, we would say, it took him away from this great feast that is there. Now, let me back up 1 second and say this. There is a great feast that's going to happen in heaven, and you've got to get to the place where you're going to be in that number that's accepting that invitation that's coming. Now, he says the second one was, well, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I've got to go prove them. In other words, I've got to go work those oxen. Well, in other words, his work took him away from the feast that was there. That is a great excuse that we hear in our lands today. Well, I'm so busy with my work, with my life, with my family, I just can't go. The third one was definitely family. People today use their family as excuses why they do not seek the Lord. The reason being, well, my family are just not into church, so I just don't see that it is needful for me to be in the house of the Lord to where that I can be saved. Maybe it's because that family is drawing them away. Maybe it is a new wife that you have. Maybe it's new children. You think, well, the children in the church, they'll make too much racket and we'll bother everybody else. First thing I want to say about that is I'm glad to see every child in our church house today. I know they make noise from time to time, and yes, sometimes they do get loud like me. But don't ever worry about me. It doesn't bother me. The Spirit of God helps me, and it doesn't bother me, but please try to keep them where they need to be. They need to be in the house of God. They need to be in the church. They need to be hearing the preaching, and they will not learn how to behave themselves in the house of God without them being in the house of God. They're not going to learn how to behave in the house of God unless they're in the house. They won't learn it at school. I'm going to tell you, they won't learn it at home. They'll learn part of it, but they will not learn it out on the streets. So don't use that as an excuse in these ways today. Now, I want to move on a little faster here today, and we'll go more towards Scripture here today. And what the Scriptures, we're going to try to bring out 3 or 4 different excuses that are in the Bible. And I'm going to ask you a question today. If you've not been saved, what will be your excuse to the Lord? That's the actual thought for the day. What will be your excuse today? In the Bible, we find several people that have made excuses. No, you're not the only one that has an excuse. Actually, I'll probably hit one of your excuses that you have today. I will. I'll probably hit one of them at least. So as we look, I want you to go to the first of the Bible, the 3rd chapter of Genesis, and I want you to see of the very first excuse that was used to God about their soul's condition. You know the story of Adam and Eve, how Adam ate of the fruit, and as soon as he ate of the fruit, his eyes was open. He knew he was naked. He knew he was a sinner. Really was what he knew more than anything else. But as he was seeing these things, they tried to cover up their sin by fig leaves. And when the Lord called unto them in the cool of the day, they hid themselves in the garden. In the 11th verse, finally God finds them there in the hiding place. And God's, he makes a statement in the 10th verse. He said, I knowed I was naked. And God said, who told you I was naked? And the very first excuse that was given, gentlemen, is our excuse. That woman you gave me, she gave it to me and I ate. Well, we're still using that excuse today as gentlemen, aren't we? But the fact of the matter, with God, it does not matter here. For God looked at the woman, she said, what? He said, what have you done in this way? And the woman said, Well, that serpent over there, and the word that's in the Bible is beguiled, and what that means is trick me. And that is true. The devil is still trying to trick individuals from coming to the Lord. They were playing a blame game, if you would, in this moment in time. Adam blaming Eve, Eve blaming the serpent, but when it comes down to the actual sin, you are responsible for yourself and yourself only. You're not responsible for the women that's on this side or the men that's on this side. Neither are you responsible for the women and men that's on this side. You are responsible for yourself. Now, when that Adam ate of that fruit, the Bible tells us that sin came into this world, and death thereby came upon all of them. But the excuse was not relevant at that time. As I said, it was their responsibility at that time. God gave them the law to keep, and they broke the law. Now, let's move on a little bit further here today. Going over to the 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus, 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus, we're moving in to the times of the children of Israel. You know the story of the children of Israel, how that they were in the land of bondage in Egypt, and in Egypt, they started crying out to God, "Lord, deliver us out of this place." And God sent a man by the name of Moses into that land. He had a helper by the name of Aaron, who was his brother, that was basically his spokesman at that time. But God delivered them out of Egypt. They got over into the wilderness, up to the mountain, and God was delivering the laws of God, the Ten Commandments, the other things that were to be done, the tabernacle, and all of that. And Moses has been gone 40 days at this point in time. And you know what the people did? They looked at Aaron, and it says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and they said unto him, 'Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, this man, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we won't not, in other words, we don't know what has come of him, become of him.'" Now, the people of the that were there were a people that had saw 10 plagues upon the nation of Egypt. The last one was the death angel coming through them, and only the houses that had the blood on the door was the firstborn even spared in those places. But as they came out of Egypt, they came up to the river of, the Red Sea, and God parted it. And they went across on dry ground, didn't they? And as they got over in on the other side, it drowned all of the Egyptian army. Now, that's a great big miracle there. The 10 plagues that they'd already seen was big enough that they should have believed. And yet, now just a little bit of space of time, and they said, "I don't know where Moses is." In our modern day terminology, we would probably say that the excuse is, "Well, the preacher left. I can't get saved without that preacher." Or maybe it's a particular one that you have in mind. Maybe it's because of a different person that is there. But the idea is they were relying on Moses rather than God. Their excuse is, "Well, Moses, he's the one that brought us out. No, Moses was only the leader of the bunch. He was the one that they brought to, that God used to bring them out. But it was God that brought them out all the way. Now, let me back up just a little bit. I'm not really backing up. I'm going forward just a little bit. Aaron done some dumb things. Aaron said, break off all the gold that you have, and I'll make you those gods. Now, he made the gods, and he said, these be the gods that brought you out of Egypt. This was the second man in charge. If you look at verse 22, you'll get his excuse. He said, and Aaron said, let not the anger of the Lord wax hot, of my Lord, excuse me, and that's meaning Moses. He said, thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. Do you know anybody today, and I'm mischievous in many ways, but what this mischief really means, they had a heart set towards sin. And what he was saying was, I just couldn't resist because they were outnumbering me. And I thought, well, the best thing I can do is just give them what they want. You see, we live in a day and age as far as church is concerned, and it's been going on for a few thousand years, where people have been giving congregations just exactly what they want, and they're dying and going to hell because of it. Now, what the Bible called that in the book of Timothy, he says they are bringing to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they're willing to tickle the ears of individuals. Years ago, I had a good friend that I had, and he had started to go into church at a particular place. And as he was going there, he come back. It got out that Glenn got saved, and I thought that was a good thing and everything. But as a period of time went on, I started to question a little bit of what I saw and what I heard, especially his own testimony. I'll say it that way. I don't know anybody's heart. Don't get me wrong here. I do not know anybody's heart, but I can be a fruit inspector. And his fruits just were not what they should have been. One day, just out of the blue, we was working together, and I guess he walked from here to the back of the door to me and just come up in a sudden way. And he said, Rick, I want to ask you a question. I said, go ahead. He said, if a man is told by a preacher that he is saved, will God hold that man accountable for the fact that he was deceived? I said, Glenn, I'm going to tell you, God expects every individual to repent for themselves. Every individual has to. Everyone is commanded to repent of their sin. And if someone tells them that they are saved and they're not, I want you to understand something. They're still not saved. I have not the ability to tell anyone that they are saved. There's no human being on this earth that can tell any one of you that you've prayed long enough, that you've trusted God already, maybe that you just went to the altar or whatever it was. There's no human being that has that authority. That is God's authority and responsibility. So what's your excuse on this? As Glenn left me that day, this was his response to my answer. He left. And he turned and walked away. I thought, did that man tell you that you prayed long enough or something like that? Did he deceive you in such a way as that? Well, even if he did deceive him in that moment in time, there was a question inside of him that was coming to him in this way. Am I all right? Am I right with God? And the excuse needs to be left behind. If you're not right with God, you start praying to God. You start seeking His salvation. You start desiring it more than anything else in your life. You start wanting that salvation so much so that you would forsake father, mother, houses, and land, as Jesus said, and even your own life. And that's not easy. That's not easy. But what would be your excuse today? Well, maybe I didn't hear the truth. Back a few years ago, a man that I know, a preacher that I know, his wife was and him were on a trip. And they come in contact with this lady that was of another faith, and I'll say just plain another religion is what I'll say. And he got bold with her, and he started telling her that her belief that Jesus was not the Son of God, that she needed to turn to Jesus and be saved. Well, that was good. I was thankful he done that. And that's what we're supposed to do. But his wife told him, she said, "Why, you're causing her to go to hell now. You've told her the truth about it. Now she's going to go to hell." Was that the first thing that had been put before her that said that God was God and that Jesus was the Son of God and that He died for her sin? No. You know, I want you to turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Psalms in the 19th chapter and listen to a few verses here. And it says, "And the heavens declare the glory of God." This is first verse. "And the firmament showeth His handiwork." The heavens is where the birds fly in our atmosphere here. The firmament, it is the outer space part, the stars and the sun and the moon, all of that declare His handiwork. God created it all. And whether they want to say that they believe it or not, they need to understand this has showed you already. God is here. You've heard me say this many times. Even the most primitive people wants to find a higher power. It's in our nature. It's in our desires to want that. So when that we look up into the heavens, we understand that God showeth us these things. He said, "Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." In other words, day and night shows how that God has His knowledge and wisdom in the place, and it uttereth to them. There is no speech, no language, where the voice is not heard. Whoa, wait a minute here. Does that mean that the people over in Africa that maybe are in the most primitive state that they are in, do they have an excuse not to trust in God? No. I'm sorry to say that, but no. For the very grass that they walk on tells them there is a God. Now, I want to give you one other excuse here before I go on. Go back to 2 Kings in the 5th chapter, and this is familiar to most people, the story of Naaman. Naaman was a leprous man that was of the enemy, we'll say. And basically, he had captured a little girl from Israel, and he'd made her a servant to his wife, and he had become leprous, a disease that he was fixing to die, in other words. And the little girl, she spoke up. Remember what I said a while ago about our excuses? Well, it won't do any good. You imagine that little girl said, well, it won't do any good to tell him about that prophet that's over there in Israel, that if he'd go over there, he'd heal him. It wouldn't do any good to tell him that. But she spoke up and she said, there is a man in Israel that if you go to him, he'll heal you of this disease. Well, he got word. He got everything ready. They went to the prophet of God. He took everything with him, the camels, the entourage, I guess is the best way to put it. And they stood out the outside of the prophet's house. And the old prophet sent a servant out. And he just said, go and dip thyself 7 times in the Jordan River. Okay, what was his excuse? I thought. You know, that's where we get in trouble a lot of times as human beings, when we start thinking too much, especially about godly matters. When we think, we get in trouble. He said, I thought that the man of God would come out and he'd pray to his God. Notice he said his God. And then he'd rub his hands on those places and they'd be made new. On top of that, I thought it would be even better if I went back to Syria, and the two rivers that are there, are they not much better than the Jordan River? That old nasty little bitty river that, oh Lord, it can't be good enough. It just can't be good enough that way. There's many a people today that are going through life thinking there's got to be a better way of getting to God other than believing in Jesus Christ. They think that they can live a good enough life. They think they can obey all these words that are here. They think that their righteousness is something before God when it says their righteousness is nothing but a filthy rag. I thought. And what did he do? He went away mad. You ever seen a sinner go away mad? I have. It's not a pretty sight. I helped in a revival up in Kentucky one time, and it was two brothers broke down. Both of them back towards the back of the house, and after a little while, the younger one got saved, and I mean he was a glorious sight. He was bright as he could be. Everybody just praising God and everything. That other one left there, and he just kept a trying and kept a trying, and eventually he got up, and he was mad. Oh, I could see it on his face. His grandfather talked to me about it later. He said, oh, he was so mad that day. Really what it was, he was disappointed, I guess you'd say, that his brother got saved and he didn't. But he got mad. You know, he hardly ever darkens the door of the church. And I see Brother Dale every so often, and I'll say, what about your grandson? He said, no word yet. You can't turn away from God. Even if you thought that you did everything that you possibly could, if you thought that everything was just, you know you put every bit of your faith in him, and that should have been good enough. Should have been is not good enough. It's only when God speaks peace to your soul that it's good enough. So what would be your excuse today about this matter? What will you do in that day? Let me give you one more quick reference as an excuse. Have I hit your excuse just yet? There was a man who heard Paul preaching, and as he heard him preaching in the book of Acts in the 24th chapter, he was a king, and he heard Paul preaching, and his words was, after Paul had preached, and he said, after he had reasoned about what he preached, he said, Paul, go away. I'll call for you in a more convenient season. Can I ask you when a convenient season is going to be? When would be the most convenient time for you to get saved? What do I mean by convenient? Well, it suits me better if it was when the crowd wasn't big. Is that more convenient? Well, maybe it'd be more convenient when I was at home in bed. These people get saved in bed, yes. Maybe it would be better if you was somewhere out by yourself. Is that convenient? Maybe it's not going down to the altar to pray or even crying in front of other people's. That's convenience, right? I don't want people to see me cry. I don't want people to see me beg. I don't want people to see these things out of me. I'm tougher than that. Are you? Now here's your dangerous part on this. The Bible never tells us about a convenient season for this man. I believe if he had found that convenient season, they would have written it all over the Bible. But it wasn't a convenient season for him. I want to give you one more verse here. Let me just go ahead and read four verses. And then I'll hush, Brother Sam. Go ahead and get ready. He said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." The righteousness of God is revealed in us, right? And it shows our faith, and it shows to them, and it brings out faith. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." In other words, they try to hold their own truths is what they do. But the fact that there is wrath of God shown through all the destruction that there is, that becomes a wrath of God to them. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." What is your excuse? Brother Sam, while we get ready to sing, what would be your excuse today? Did I get one of yours? I'm going to tell you, one time or another, I used every one of them in the years that I was seeking God. I did. Did I hit one of yours? What will be your excuse? While we stand and sing today.
276. 276.